Then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope, that say, Let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he hath stretched forth his hand against them, and hath smitten them. And the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the street. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far, and will hiss unto them from the ends of the earth. Behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. None shall be weary nor stumble among them, none shall slumber nor sleep. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken. Whose arrows are sharp, and all their bows bent, their horses' hoofs shall be counted like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring shall be like a lion, they shall roar like young lions. Yea, they shall roar and lay hold of the prey, and carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it. In that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one look unto the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened in the heavens thereof. Greater God, I just thank you for your word, for this opportunity here to preach. Just ask that you be a pastor now, strengthen him. Please fill him with your spirit, and please just help us to be attentive, help us to be edified. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
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 All right, we are in Isaiah chapter number 5 this morning. And look down at your Bibles at verse number 20. It says, Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Verse 21, Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And what I want to preach on this morning is doing right, doing what is right in their own eyes, doing what is right in their own eyes. Now, here in Isaiah chapter 5, we basically see that Judah is in a pretty bad spiritual condition. And as a nation, they basically have become so diluted that not only were they incapable of discerning between good and evil, they were actually swapping them, okay? They were appropriating light for darkness, darkness for light, bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. And we see that they basically became backwards in their religion. They became backwards in their way of thinking. And it tells us that in verse 20. But look at verse 21. Why is that? Well, it says in verse 21, Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. So these individuals, known as Judah here, what we see is that they began to swap light for darkness, darkness for light. They began to have like a backwards manner of religion because of the fact that they were wise in their own eyes. They were basically doing that which was right in their own eyes. And it's for that reason that they began to live this ungodly life, and the nation became ungodly. So putting good for evil and good for evil and evil for good was a direct result of them being prudent in their own eyes. Let me read to you from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. It says, Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So we look at something like this in the Bible. We look at something like this in the book of Isaiah. And we say to ourselves, well, you know, that was then. And people are crazy back then. They were into idolatry back then. And they were turning, you know, swapping good for evil, evil for good. That was something that they did then. But let me just say this, is that there's no new thing under the sun.
Amen.
Today you have the same exact thing, and in fact it's called moral relativism, right? Yeah. What does that mean? It's basically every man doing that which is right in their own eyes. You know, what's right for me is not necessarily right for you, and what's right for you, it doesn't mean it's necessarily right for me. So there's no absolute truth. There's no standard of moral truth. There's no moral standard. You know, what's right for you, what's wrong for you, it's not necessarily the same for myself. Judah had forsaken God and his word, thereby becoming a nation void of restraint, okay? So because they were wise in their own eyes, because they were prudent in their own sight, therefore, they had no restraint. They can commit all types of abominations and sinfulness because they felt that what they were doing is correct, what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Now, why is that? How did they get to that point? Well, they got to that point because of pastors.
Amen.
So the pastors during that time were basically preaching the word of God with sleight of hand. They're preaching the word of God slightly, deceiving the people, not showing them what is right, not showing them what is wrong, not teaching them to discern between good and evil. And in fact, let me read to you from Jeremiah 23, verse 16. It says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord." So he's saying, look, these prophets, make sure you close your ears when they speak unto you because of the fact that they're speaking a vision of their own heart. They're making it up. It's their own doctrine. They're not getting it from God. They're not speaking with the mouth of God. They're not God's mouthpiece. They're just speaking a vision, an imagination, a sermon out of their own heart. Now, the equivalent to this would be people saying today, follow your heart.
Yeah.
I mean, you see that on social media, movies, Disney. Yep. You know, they all have that same message. Just follow your heart. As if your heart is like noble. As if your heart is just free, is just pure and free of sin. Folks, the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Right.
You know, unless your heart is being guided and filled with the word of God, unless it's being filled with scripture and righteousness and the knowledge of the Lord and the fear of God, don't follow it.
Right.
Because if you do that which is naturally comes to you, which you're naturally, you know, inclined to do, you're going to do that which is right in your own sight. And the result of that is that you're going to swap evil for good, good for evil. You're not going to do that which is pleasing in his sight. Now, turn with me, if you would, to Judges chapter 17. Judges chapter 17, if you would. Judges chapter 17. Doing what is right in their own sight. It's not something that only took place, you know, in the book of Isaiah, and not only took place in the book of Judges. It's taking place today. And in fact, you have churches today, you have prophets and pastors today that preach the word of God, or they're claiming to preach the word of God, but they're preaching it deceitfully.
Right.
You know, they're preaching a sermon out of their own heart. They're claiming to say, hey, this is okay. Drinking is fine. Consuming alcohol and fornication is fine. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. We need to be long-suffering and patient towards these people. Just allow them to commit these wicked, abominable acts. Hey, sodomites could come into the church, you know, because we need to love everyone. Folks, that's a vision out of their own heart.
Amen. Amen.
These people don't discern what the Word of God actually says. They're doing that which is right in their own sight, not in the sight of God.
Right.
They're doing that which is right in their own eyes, not in the eyes of God. You're in Judges chapter 17. I'm going to read to you from Proverbs 30 before we go to Judges 17. It says in Proverbs 30, verse 11, "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother." Now, wouldn't you say that we're in that generation
Amen.
Today?
Yeah.
Where you have a generation of children who are just not only rebellious, not only disobedient, but even disrespectful towards their parents.
Yeah.
Where they would even go as far as to curse their parents, raise their fists at their parents, hit their parents, be violent towards their parents. The Bible says this generation curses their father and they don't bless their mother. Well, you know, obviously, if they're not, you know, if they're cursing their dad, you can sure tell that basically they're not going to be a blessing to their parents, right?
Right.
It says in verse 12, "There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes.
Yeah.
Yet is not washed from their filthiness." So these same generation, the same children who are cursing their father, not blessing their mother, they're the same generation that think that they're pure in their own sight.
Yeah.
They can raise their fists at their mom, at their dad, and still think nothing's wrong with that. They can curse their dad and say, "F you, dad, and I hate you, and I don't love you," and say all manner of evil against the people that have taken care of them since they're babies, who brought them into this world, and still think that they're pure in their own sight. "There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men." So they're pure in their own sight. And because they're pure in their own sight, they don't see anything wrong with the crimes that they're committing.
Right.
Okay. Now, what does that mean? In other words, they're basically justified in their own sight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you see this in 2020, 2021, all over the place.
Right.
I mean, just a couple weeks ago, we had a bunch of protesters at a church. These young people who are either sodomites themselves or advocates of the sodomites, and they're a bunch of young people. I guarantee you they probably act the same exact way at home.
Yeah.
I guarantee you they yell at their parents, they beat their parents, they protest their parents. I guarantee you they're lazy, they don't have any jobs. You know, I guarantee you that these people are wicked. This is the generation that it's referring to. But if you were to ask them, hey, you know, you think it's right what you did over there? You think it's right to bomb a church? You think it's right to go and protest and just, you know, spread all that filth in front of children? They would say, yeah, it's right. Mm-hmm. They're pure in their own eyes.
Right.
They're prudent in their own sight. They're doing that which is right in their own eyes, not in the eyes of God. Now, we're in Judges chapter 17. Judges... The period of the judges is a very strange and peculiar time in the nation of Israel. I mean, when you read some of the stories that are found in the book of Judges, like, what in the world is happening here?
Right.
Okay. You know, idolatry, sodomy is being taken place, murder, just these really peculiar stories where you read and you walk. And when once you finish the book of Judges reading it, you're just like, there's no happy ending.
Right.
Like, what happened? It's just like all bad. It's all bad. Look at verse number 1 of Judges 17. Let's read one of those peculiar stories. And there was a man of Mount Ephraim, whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest, and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me, I took it. His mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. So what's going on here? He stole money from his mom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's like, yeah, and I took it. And one of the moms said, oh, blessed be thou. You know, basically, like, you know, you have this child today in 2021, basically, you know, stealing from their parents or something. Oh, he's so cute. He does that sometimes. He's just, don't do that, Johnny. Don't do that. Verse 3, and when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from mine hand for my son. To make a what? Graven image and a molten image. Now therefore are restored unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother. And his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, which made thereof a graven image and a molten image. And they were in the house of Micah. So basically, we have a home that's just filled with idolatry.
Right.
Okay. And he even says in verse 5, and the man Micah had a house of gods. And made an ephod and a teraphim and a consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. So this is the first house church in the Bible.
Yep.
This guy's like, well, let's just make a bunch of images. Hey, son, you look like, you know, you be called the priest or something. Why don't you become one of my priests? And just remember, the priesthood was only designated to the house of Aaron, and more specifically, the Levites. Yeah. And even then, there was requirements for the Levites to be priests.
Right.
You know, a list of requirements that they had to meet, qualifications that they had to meet in order to be a priest. No, you know, not just anyone can become a priest.
Right.
But we see here, he's just like, hey, why don't you come on up? Come on down, be a priest. So you read this and you're like, what are you doing? You're just going to ordain your own son? You're just going to like make a house of gods and act like you're worshiping the true God? You're going to make all these molten images, these graven images, have a house of gods, and then above that, to add, you know, rebellion to your sin, you're going to basically consecrate one of your sons as a priest? Why is this happening? Well, look at verse 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which is right in his own eyes. So basically, God has given us a disclaimer. This is the disclaimer. Because he knows that when we finish reading verse 5, you're like, what in the world's going on here? And God's like, well, just keep in mind, there's no king in Israel during this time. And when there's no king in Israel, when there's no magistrate, when there's no governor, every man does that which is right in their own eyes.
Right.
Okay? Idolatry. Consecrating your own sons as a priest. Look at verse 7. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, the family of Judah, who was a Levite. He sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city of Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim to the house of Micah as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I might find a place. Micah said unto him, dwell with me. Be unto me a father and a priest. And I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by a year and a suit of apparel and thy victuals. So the Levite went in. He says, hey, clan. Look, you're a Levi. I need a Levi. You know, you're supposed to be serving in the house of God. I made a house of God. How about I just pay you 10 shekels of silver? I'll give you a nice little pinstripe suit. And I'll feed you. I'll give you victuals. And you can just go with me. Well, the Levite should have been like, you're crazy. I don't do this whole house church thing. You know, we need to get someone who's actually qualified to ordain me to do this. And I'm not even qualified. I'm just sojourning here. That's what he should have said. Verse 11, and the Levite was content to dwell with the man. And the young man was unto him as one of his sons. He's like, man, that sounds good. Get to eat, got clothing, get paid. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. He's like, now I know I'll be blessed by God. Because now I got, you know, first it was my son who was a priest, but now I got a Levite to my priest. This superstitious thing where it's just like, well, you know, he's, you know, he grew up in an independent fundamental Baptist church. If I could just get him here, you know, God's going to do me good. Okay. So when the Bible says, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes, this isn't a good thing.
Amen.
Right? When it says every man did that which is right in his own eyes, no one would look at that and say, oh, hey, that's a good thing. That's great. Liberty. This isn't a good thing. And how do we know it's not a good thing? Because that statement is sandwiched between two really stupid decisions.
Yeah.
Just things that are just off the wall, consecrating a Levite, making him, you know, paying him 10 shekels of silver and a suit of apparel, victuals, making a house of gods. You see all this spiritual chaos taking place in this region. It's like, why is this happening? Well, because this is what happens when God's word is not the standard.
Amen.
When there's no king to govern, you know, all the nonsense that's taking place, to put these people to shame, to say, hey, you're not allowed to do this. This is not right. Right. But because there's no one there to do that, every man is just doing what is right in their own sight.
Yeah.
This isn't men being truly free.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the kind of world I would like to live in here. No king, no governor, no magistrate. Make a house of gods if I wanted to. Who's going to tell me no? You know? Just kind of consecrate whoever I want. No one telling me what to do. This is what's known as what? Anarchy.
Yeah.
Now, why preach this? Well, because this week, Michael Johnson preached regarding this statement, every man doing that which is right in their own sight, and he literally said that's a good thing.
Yeah, he said it.
Folks, he said that doing that, he's like, this is it. I know, you know, I've heard so many sermons about this and people saying that this is really bad. It's not bad. It means that they were truly free because they didn't have a king. You know, because God originally, they didn't want a king, but, you know, and so, you know, they didn't have a king telling them what to do, and they can do that which is right in their own sight. This crazy interpretation of Scripture. You say, why would he teach that? I'll tell you why. Because his folly is being made manifest.
Amen.
That's why.
Yeah, that's right.
And let me say this. Anytime some pastor or some prophet starts taking a left turn in their doctrine, starts doing shady things in their ministry, just mark it down. They're going to teach stupid doctrine eventually.
Yeah.
Why? Because God allows them to do that. God allows their folly to be made manifest, to become a public spectacle to everyone who listens to that fool and say, oh yeah, this guy's weird.
Amen.
This guy is a false prophet.
Yeah, right.
You're a pastor, and this is what you're preaching? You're saying that every man doing that which is right in his own sight is a good thing? When you have Micah making a house of gods, you have him recruiting a Levite and ordaining him to be a priest, and you think that's fine? And this is what he said, okay? Because, you know, he's of the sort, you know, that, oh, you know, our government is really bad, and coronavirus and all this, you know, shutting down the church, and you shouldn't do that, and mask this and mask that. You know, he's the one who calls me a FEMA pastor, okay? Because I supposedly closed down my church during the coronavirus. Well, here's the thing, Michael Johnson. Even when I supposedly closed down my church, I still had more in attendance at my church than you do on a regular before coronavirus.
Amen!
Think about that.
Yep.
But let me just say this, folks, okay? Obviously, the government is wicked. Duh. Yeah. I mean, we have magistrates in Omani, as you see, who are against your pastor.
Yeah.
and all the wickedness that they're doing.
Right.
Obviously, we understand that magistrates can be wicked, governors can be wicked, and all these things. But just, but you need to, don't take that too far, though.
Yeah. Right.
Let me explain to you why. And after this, if you continue to take it far, you got issues. Let me tell you why you can't take that too far. Because one of the glaring characteristics of a false prophet, according to 2 Peter chapter 2, is that they despise governments.
Right.
Think about that for a second. It says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise governments.
Right.
What does that mean? They don't want anybody ruling over them.
Yeah.
Presumptuous are they. Self-willed. Look what it says. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Jude 1:8 says this, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion,
yep,
and speak evil of dignities.
Right.
So hold on a second. Yeah, obviously there's wicked governments. Obviously there's people in high places that do wrong and do wickedly, and they're just completely evil, and they're puppets of Satan. But hold on a second. An individual who only hates governments and doesn't want anyone ruling over them, according to the Bible, is like a false prophet.
Right.
And let me just say this. No matter how wicked the government gets, the alternative is never anarchy.
Amen.
Right.
Yep.
No matter how evil, how nefarious the government can get, the alternative is never anarchy, according
Amen.
To the Bible.
Amen.
It might be for some Republican out there who's not Christian.
Right.
Yeah.
Not us.
Amen.
We as Christians do not despise governments. And in fact, the Bible tells us that the government shall be upon his shoulders.
Amen.
And look, Michael Johnson said this. Yeah, they were supposed to have a king. What are you talking about? They weren't supposed to have a king. God was their king.
Amen.
Prior to the system of the judges, and even prior to the kings coming in thereafter, God, they're under a theocracy.
Amen.
Amen.
God was the king. He ordained men to execute righteousness in the land.
Right.
People who told others what to do.
Yep.
Right.
It's not like, oh, there was just free reign and every man was just doing that which is right on their own side in Israel in the wilderness. Yeah, you know what? If there's an individual who did that which is right on their own side, they would be punished.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. And look, they didn't believe in the First Amendment then either.
Right.
There's no freedom of religion back in those days.
Amen.
If someone blasphemed the name of God, they would be put to death.
Amen.
According
Amen.
To the Bible. That's not freedom of speech.
Amen.
That's not the First Amendment.
Amen.
Okay. So to say, well, you know, they're better off without a king. You know what he's saying? He's doing that which is right in his own sight.
Yeah.
You know why he's trying to justify these people doing that which is right in their own eyes? Because that's exactly what he's doing.
Amen.
And he's saying, I don't want a king.
Yeah.
He's saying, I don't want anyone telling me what to do. But no matter how wicked a government can be, the alternative is never anarchy, folks.
Amen. Okay?
Now go to Numbers 15. Go to Numbers chapter 15. Doing that which is right in your own sight is never a good thing. It's rebellious. It's anarchy. It's not correct. And look, anybody who with two brain cells to rub together can listen to that statement made by Michael Johnson and say, this dude's crazy.
Amen.
He believes this? What's your next move, Johnson? What else are you going to say that's completely stupid and idiotic? Isn't it interesting, you know, you have this Levite, or you have this guy Micah ordaining his son, and that's exactly what Michael Johnson is.
Yeah.
He was sent out by his daddy.
Yeah. It's true.
He was ordained and sent down by his papa.
Right. Yep.
Look at verse 38. It says, Numbers chapter 15, verse 38. So speaking to the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. And that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye use to go a whoring, that ye may remember and do all the commandments and be holy unto your God. So God told them, make these fringes as a reminder to keep God's word and not do that which is right in your own eyes.
Amen.
So, according to the Bible, doing that which is right in your own eyes is actually the opposite of what God wants you to do.
Amen.
Right.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And in fact, he's setting up a reminder to say, keep my commandments, and the opposite of keeping my commandments is doing your own commandments.
Yeah.
Go to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter number 12. He says that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes. No, sorry, Michael Johnson, but not sorry. Doing that which is right in your own eyes is actually wicked.
Amen.
Yep. It's actually evil.
Right.
It's actually the opposite of what the Bible teaches. But folks, should we be surprised? You know, the Bible says that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron.
Amen.
You know, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat. You know, one of the glaring characteristics of a false prophet is they'll literally teach the exact opposite of what the Bible says.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, abstain from getting married. Marriage is good. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
abstain from meat. What? Veganism is of the devil. What do you
Amen.
Mean?
Yeah.
Amen.
According to the Bible.
Right.
No, it's sinful. You know, meat is murder. Meat is murder. You might want to read the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And all the millions of animals that God killed.
Amen.
Well, that's Old Testament. All right. Why don't you read the book of Revelation and see, like, when God just makes worldwide barbecue.
Amen.
He just kills a bunch of animals. But folks, this is a glaring testimony of a false prophet. They will literally teach the exact opposite
yeah.
of what the Bible says. So they'll take a passage that's found in Judges 17 and 21 where it says that every man did that which is right in their own sight, and they'll teach the exact opposite.
Yeah.
So no, it's a good thing. They put good for evil, evil for good, yeah. bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. Look at Deuteronomy 12 verse 5, but unto the place, Deuteronomy 12 verse 5, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall you seek, and thither shalt thou come. And thither you shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and heave offerings of your hands and your vows and your freewill offerings and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. And there ye shall eat bread, there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, ye and your household, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes.
Amen.
I know this is repetitive, but I just want to show you that this is not right.
Amen.
God's constantly telling the children of Israel, don't do that which is right in your own sight.
Amen.
Don't do what you think, what you're naturally inclined to do.
Right.
Don't do those things, because if you do those things, it's going to be the complete opposite of what I'm commanding you to do.
Yeah, amen.
And the book of Judges is a testament of that.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a testament when you allow a group of people, a nation, to go unfettered with no government,
right.
with no laws of God, with no magistrates to put them to shame. It's a testament of that.
Amen.
When you have zero authority, zero magistrates, zero correction, you know what's going to happen? Sin goes unfettered, you have idolatry, and you know what comes after idolatry? Reprobation.
Yep.
Every time. In the nation of Israel, folks, for example, Jeremiah chapter 6, when they became reprobate silver, you remember that?
Yeah.
Why did they become reprobate silver? I'll tell you why, because they got involved in idolatry.
Amen.
Read Romans 1 for the individual.
Yeah.
Before becoming a reprobate, they made an image, you know, they changed the image of the of incorruptible God into an image made unto corruptible man. Four-footed beast and all that. They committed idolatry, and therefore their foolish heart was darkened. They became wise in their own sight.
Yeah.
Proclaiming themselves to be wise, they became fools.
Amen.
The Bible says. So you have idolatry, you have reprobation, and then you have a nation filled with sodomites. Oh, what do we find in the book of Judges after Judges 17 and 18? Oh, that's right. The sons of Belial.
Right.
Yeah.
Seeking to rape a man, raping a woman. This all this wickedness taking place in the nation of Israel. So let me ask you this, Michael Johnson. You know, they're doing that which is right in their own sight. So are you saying that sodomy is okay? Yeah. Oh, it must be with you, because you're standing with them against me.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? This guy literally made a comment and said, and was like backing up the sodomites and attacking me. What in the world?
Yeah. Wicked.
Folks, for your Michael Johnson, for your manhood's sake, don't stand with the sodomites. Any pastor who stands with the sodomites against me, you're a queer bait.
Amen.
Amen.
You're a fag hag.
Yep.
Amen.
or you're one of them.
Yeah, that's right.
Period. And I'm not saying that Michael Johnson's a homo, but you know what? For sure, now he's sealed his fate. He's a fag hack.
Amen.
For sure.
Right, yeah. Because
he's defending them against me.
Right.
Yeah.
So when it says they did that, which is right in their own sight, one of the things that was right in their own sight is raping men, killing them, raping women, committing idolatry, and he thinks that's right.
Yeah.
Insanity.
Amen.
He thinks that that's okay. Oh, it's just men being free and, you know, just free to just commit the most abominable acts. It's this is life. This is great in his sight.
Right.
The Bible says in Psalm 36, go with me if you would to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter number 12, Psalms 36 verse 1 says, "The transgression of the wicked saith it within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful." He flattereth himself. So what does it mean to flatter someone? It means to deceive them.
Yeah.
And you know what these people do? They flatter themselves. So what does it mean? They're deceiving themselves. Look at Proverbs chapter 12 verse 15. Proverbs chapter 12 verse 15 says this: "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes." The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise.
Amen.
So the fool says, "Well, I'm right. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what the government says. I don't care what pastor says. I don't care what the church says. I'm right." You know what the Bible says? You're a fool.
Amen.
Yep.
Now again, folks, look. If you're reading the Bible, you're memorizing the Bible, you are at adhering to God's principles and God's word, you're not resting the scriptures, then obviously you're going to do right.
Amen.
But folks, if you're just completely teaching that which is opposite of the word of God, don't say that you're doing that which is right in God's eyes. You're doing that which is right in your own sight.
Amen.
Look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2. "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits." This is why when you go soul winning and you go knock on doors and you're preaching the gospel, the vast majority of people are like, "Well, I'm a good person."
Yeah.
Even though they just got finished smoking a blunt. Even though they got a beer can in their hand. Even though they're living a wicked lifestyle, they're like, "Yeah, I'm pretty good." Why? Because all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes.
Yeah.
"Yeah, I think I'm going to heaven. I think I'm a good guy. You know, I think I'm going to go to heaven. I think I deserve eternal life. I think I can work my way to heaven." Why? Well, because I'm pure in my own eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe I'm right. I believe I'm good. I believe I'm righteous. But here's the thing. The Lord weigheth the spirits. Go to chapter 21. Chapter 21. So it seems to me that the individual who follows their heart and does that which they think is right and they follow their own natural inclination, God actually condemns that.
Amen.
And God says, "You're going to be destroyed. That's not my way." Here's the thing, folks. If we naturally did that which was good, then we wouldn't need the Bible.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
If we naturally did that which was good, we wouldn't need a renewing of the mind.
Amen.
But you know why we need God to renew our minds? To remove all the filth and the junk and all the worldliness and all the worldly philosophies from our mind and to renew it and change it to think the way God thinks.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Look at Proverbs 21, verse 2. "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts." So he's saying, look, you may think you're doing right, but I'm actually searching the hearts to see the motives behind what you're doing.
Amen.
Okay. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Never have this attitude that, well, you know, our government's so wicked, we're just not going to follow any type of government. Folks, wouldn't you say that the Roman government was really wicked in Jesus' day?
Amen.
Yeah.
All the paganism and idolatry and sodomy and slavery and just doing all types of wicked stuff during that time. It was very wicked during that time.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it was Babylon, and we're Babylon. Right?
Amen.
But do you see Jesus just completely bucking their authority?
Nope.
Why didn't he do that? Why did he even pay taxes? Because Jesus paid taxes.
Amen.
Now, obviously, we don't have his ability where we can just, you know, go to some fish and just pull out money and just pay your taxes that way. Okay? But here's the thing. Why did he even do that? I'll tell you why. Because he had a greater purpose.
Amen.
There is a greater fight to battle. There is a greater battle to fight.
Amen.
He's just like, just pay the taxes. Just do it. We got other things to do. We got souls to win.
Amen.
We got the word of God to preach.
Amen.
And you know what Jesus knew? I'm taking over anyways at the end of all this.
Yeah.
So let them kick me out of Romani.
Amen.
I don't care. I'm going to take over Romani in the millennial reign anyways.
Amen.
I'm going to come back on my white horse, you know, after Jesus just completely... I'm gonna say, hey, I need to make a trip to Romani real quick. I just need to go to my old stomping grounds real quick and just go kind of visit that place a little bit. You know, at the end of the day, these things don't matter at all.
Amen.
Because we have a higher purpose, that's why. Look at verse 13. Just to show you that we should not despise governments... Look what it says in verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake.
Amen.
Now, are we supposed to just ignore that?
No.
Are we supposed to just like cross that out and say, well, not for us in 2021. No way. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. Now, folks, obviously, if they tell us you can't preach the gospel at that point, then we buck that.
Amen.
Because we go to the higher powers according to Romans 13.
Amen.
The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 13 that there are higher powers. Okay? And no, it's not the Constitution.
Amen.
Yeah.
The highest power is the Word of God.
Right,
no matter
right.
What part of the world you're in.
Amen.
Okay? But here's the thing is that if there's an ordinance like you get a ticket and you felt like you didn't deserve the ticket, but it's going to waste a bunch of your time, get you out of church or something, have you miss a service, or you can't buy a certain thing. Folks, just pay the ticket and move on with your life.
Right. Amen.
Why? Because you have a higher purpose.
Right.
Okay? Look, and I know this is unpopular. If you want to go into a restaurant and they're making you wear a mask from the time that you step into the doors to the time you sit down, I know that's a really stupid law, and I agree. But you know what I do? I wear the mask.
Amen.
You compromiser. You FEMA camp pastor. I can't believe you. Folks, we had someone in our church one time. So embarrassing.
Yeah.
We went to go eat at a restaurant. I invited the orchestra to come eat because they put in a lot of work. We went to this restaurant, okay? And all of us put on our stupid little masks because we're submitting ourselves to every ordinance of man.
Right.
Now we're like, this is stupid. Like, so are you telling me, like, as soon as I sit down, coronavirus is like, oh, dang. It's like, we can't get to him now. You know, it's like, obviously it's stupid.
Amen.
Folks, the three mask thing is stupid.
Amen.
I know this. Wearing three, what in the world? And now, like, I have one mask on, and then people with three masks, they're just like. I'm just like. You should be looking at yourself like that.
That's right.
You look ridiculous. Okay. But this guy, we go into this restaurant. We all get our masks and we go sit down and we're like, where's so-and-so? And he's outside, does not want to wear a mask. And he's like, I have a card that exempts me from wearing the mask. I have a medical condition that if I put on a mask, I can't breathe or all this stuff. So they had to go get the manager to come out, approve him, and then walk him to the table. Oh, you're just a freaking martyr of the faith. You're a hero, dude. You're an inspiration to us all. Why didn't I think of just wasting 20 minutes of my time to do that? No, it's stupid, folks.
Amen. That's
right.
Put the stupid mask on, go sit down and take it off, and then go discuss biblical things.
Amen.
Submit yourself. But here's the thing. This is what I believe sometimes it is with Christians, okay? You know, I think sometimes they don't really want to get involved in the real fight.
Right.
Right.
Because the real fights can get your church blown up.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
So they kind of move over to, like, this side. And like, well, this kind of looks like a fight.
Man.
We'll just do this fight right here. It's pretty safe. Nothing really, they're not going to threaten us and all this stuff. You know, all this bad stuff over here. I don't want to get involved in that. Because at that point, our lives are in danger if we do something like that. But the only thing that you're in danger of here is like, you know, being called a you know, radical Trump person or something like that, you know? That's what it is sometimes.
Yeah,
right.
They'd rather not just get involved in a real fight, and they want to fight something that's not really there. Folks, submit yourselves to every ordinance and get in the battle. Get in the real fight.
Amen.
Go get your building blown up.
Amen.
And then we'll talk.
Yeah.
Go to Judges 18. Judges chapter 18. This guy, he's saying, you know, he called me a FEMA pastor because I closed down my church for 2 weeks and the attendance was like 20 people. Probably more than what he has on a regular before coronavirus.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a compromiser. I'm a FEMA pastor. But hold on a second. And then he wants to say that, like, I brought this on myself. I wouldn't stand near Pastor Bruce Mejia. I wouldn't stand with him or anywhere near him because God has removed his hedge of protection. Yeah, he removed it so we can go out and go into a better hedge of protection. He's just like, yeah, we need to open it up so you can get out and get into a better building.
Amen.
Yep.
And then our church grows even more.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, didn't Job... Wasn't his latter end better than his beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
You know, next week, I mean, even now, but next week, our latter end is going to be better than our beginning.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. And let me just let you in on a little secret, okay? Last year, I was already planning to leave that building.
Yeah.
Maybe some of you didn't know that. I was working hard to just not be in that building anymore. But I was concerned, like, even prior to coronavirus, I was concerned because our church was growing at such a rapid pace. I was thinking to myself, like, man, I don't think we're going to be able to fit in here. Because, you know, when I got ordained, it was like 200 people inside the building, and like 20, 25 people of those were standing up.
Yeah.
It was not comfortable at all. It was very packed. And you know how hot that building would get.
Oh, yeah.
Even with our new AC and everything, it would still get hot.
Yeah.
You know? And I was thinking to myself, man, this is great that we're growing, but I'm kind of concerned if we're continuing to grow, like, where are we going to put everyone?
Right.
It's just, are we going to just shove everyone outside in the patio and just put a screen up? Like, I was like, kind of nervous. But then coronavirus came, and then obviously the attendance dropped, and it started picking up again. But prior to that, when I thought to myself, hey, we're going to outgrow this building, like, in the next couple of months, you know, I was already planning to leave.
Yeah.
I was like, should I breach the contract and, like, just go somewhere else? Because we're growing. Now, God had other plans, obviously.
That's right, man.
And God's like, oh, yeah, I'll hook you up with a better building. You're just going to have to wait like about a year, get your building blown up, and do all that stuff, and then we'll put you somewhere else. We'll put you in a nicer area.
Amen.
There you go. So, and by the way, we're not tied to a building.
Amen.
And I hope you're not tied to that building.
Yeah.
If you're like, oh, I'm just going to miss that building, I'm like, what part? You guys remember the beams?
Yeah.
Random beams in different places sticking out of the ground? There's like pipes and like, there's like a gutter inside the building.
Yeah.
There's a gutter inside the building.
Yep.
You guys remember that?
Mm-hmm.
When Ulysses and I were doing the wiring for the live stream, we're like, I remember we brought Albert in because there's like wires. And I was like, I need you to tell me where this wire goes. And he looked at it and he was just like, well, this one, I don't know. He was like, I have no idea where it goes. I don't even know what it's for. And he's a general contractor. He was looking at it and just like, this, whatever they did. This wall down because we want to create a podcast room. Albert goes in there and he's like, this thing's made out of concrete. Like, what? He's like, yeah, the wall is made out of concrete. He's like, you still want me to tear it down? I'm like, tear it down. He starts tearing it down. There's a window inside of the wall. And a person inside of the window. No, I'm just kidding. I'm like, what was this place? What is this? You know, when I was talking to Pastor Anderson, he's like, well, just find anything to move into. I'm like, no, because that's what we did when we moved here.
Yeah.
I don't want this again. Anyways, look at Judges 18. So let's just run with that. You know, oh, you know, Israel was just better off without a king. No king, it was just good. Every man was free. You know, just libertarians at its finest. It's just great. Well, look at verse 7. The five men departed, came to Laish, and saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt careless after the manner of the Zidonians. So this is talking about the Danites.
Yeah.
The Danites are coming in to inherit the land that basically God had given to them. They're just like, all right, we just need to look for a place where we can dwell in, remove the inhabitants out of that land. So they're going there, and they find these group of people that are they're dwelling carelessly. They're just kind of like eating grapes and just kind of chilling out. Quiet and secure, the Bible says. And look what it says. And there was no magistrate in the land. So there's no one there to kind of protect them. And in fact, it even says that there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. And they were far from the Zidonians. They had no business with any man. So the Danites come to this piece of land, and what do they see? Careless people.
Yep.
Just quiet and secure, and there's no authority.
Yeah.
Oh, this is ripe for the picking. Because if we attack this land, who's going to protect them? Who's going to come to their aid? So not only is there no one there to basically, you know, to help them or to aid them if there's an invader, but there's no one there to even put them to shame. So these guys are dwelling carelessly. Who knows what they're doing?
Right.
Who knows what kind of sins and abominable things they're involved in?
Right.
Who knows what kind of idolatry they're committing? It doesn't. No one knows because no one's there to put them to shame. Go to verse 27. So the Danites are like, let's get this spot. And they took the things which Micah had made, and the priests which he had, and came to Laish unto a people that were quiet and secure, and they smote them with the edge of the sword and burned the city with fire. So within this city, who was there? Micah and the Levite.
Yeah.
And they go there and they're like, what are you doing being a priest to this guy? Why don't you come back to the 12 tribes of Israel and you could be a priest unto us? And he's just like, sounds good. So he goes with them, and the Micah comes out, and he's just like, hey, what are you doing to my stuff? You're taking all my stuff. And they're like, shut up. We're punking you.
Yep.
It's a, you know, it's a sock check, pocket check. They're checking. They're just taking everything that they have, and they're just going to run with it, and Micah can't do anything about it. Why? Because there's no magistrate. They can't call the police, or they don't have any people, you know, any rulers, judges that can come by and say, this is wrong, you can't do this, this is robbery. This is wrong. Look at verse 28. And there was no deliverer, because it was far from Zidon, and they had no business with any man, and it was in the valley that lieth by Beth Rehob, and they built the city and dwelt therein. So look, no magistrate meant no deliverer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No king means these people were not put to shame. So no one can help them.
Yeah.
And look, folks, obviously when we study the Bible, we see that police are not in the Bible, right?
Amen.
That's not an office that God has ordained, okay? But here's the thing is, like, they are part of that government.
Yeah.
And wouldn't you say you're grateful for the police?
Amen.
During the protest?
Right.
I was. You know, when we were there, it was just like, you had all these stuff. What if the police weren't there?
Yeah.
They would have been left unrestrained. There would have been no deliverer. You know, and obviously the police are catching the brunt of the criticisms, because they had literally had a picture of us in church and then five or four police officers in front of our church just standing there just like...
Yeah, it was a good photo.
Yeah, it was a great photo. They're just leaning up against our church, like protecting our property.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what they're supposed to be doing anyways.
Amen. Yeah.
According to the Bible. They're actually supposed to punish the evildoers and protect us.
Right.
Those who are doing right. And that's what they did.
Amen.
They would escort us. They protected us. That's exactly what they were supposed to do. Now, you say, well, what would have happened if they weren't there? Well, then, you know, we would have to kind of take matters into our own hands and protect ourselves.
Right.
And you let your imagination run with that. But obviously, that's not our desire. We don't want to do that. So, you know what? The magistrates that were there in the land were there for a reason, and it helped us out in the long run. Okay? Go to, let me see here. Go to Isaiah chapter 55. Now look, folks, obviously in the New World Order, the police are probably going to turn against us. Everyone's going to turn against us.
Right.
The Republicans are going to turn against us. The Libertarians are going to be against us. The Constitutionalists are going to be against us. The police are going to be... Everyone is. Because Christians are going to be public enemy number one.
Right.
Because they're going to seek to put them to death. But until then, obviously, this is the system in which we live. And look, there was magistrates in the days of Paul who helped him.
Right.
Who rescued him, delivered him. They were there for a reason, okay? Now, why is it never right to do that which is right in our own eyes? Well, number one, because humans have a natural inclination to do wrong. Look at Isaiah 55 and verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What is he saying? Look, your ways are not like my ways.
Amen.
We often quote this to say, you know, when God is doing something in our lives, you know, we don't understand because his ways are higher than our ways. But in context, what he's actually saying is this. Your ways are wicked.
Yeah.
And your ways are different than my ways. In fact, it's so different, it's like the heavens and the earth.
Yeah.
That's how far apart your ways are from my ways. So therefore, we need to make sure that our ways line up with God's ways.
Amen.
And this shows us that if we don't have God's ways, we're naturally inclined to do wrong according to the Bible. That's why it's never right to do that which is right in our own sight. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. I didn't mean to rhyme that. It just came out that way. Hebrews chapter 5. Why else? Well, because true discernment stems from a proper understanding of God's law.
Amen.
So look, discernment is the ability to see things God's way.
Amen.
Discernment is the ability to look at a situation, to break it down and recognize what is it that God is doing through this.
Amen.
Or how should I respond biblically? That's called discernment.
Right.
Okay. You know, you want to discern the Bible when you read it.
Amen.
And not read Judges 17 and say, oh, that means when it says doing that which is right in his own eyes, that means it's a good thing. No, that you have zero discernment.
Amen.
You're blind is what you are.
Yeah.
True discernment stems from a proper understanding of God's law. Look at Hebrews 5 verse 12. It says, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He says, look, if you want to be able to have discernment, to be able to discern between good and evil, you need to read God's word.
Amen.
Which is obviously something that Michael Johnson is not doing.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You can listen and say, he's like, you're not reading the Bible, huh? You must not be reading the Bible at all. Because this is very elementary.
Right.
What you're teaching against, okay? And then lastly, true liberty is found within the boundaries of God's law. Think about this, and I'll finish with this. Go to James chapter 1, last verse. Think about this. Because people think, well, in order for me to be free, I just need to do whatever I want. But that's not true freedom.
Amen.
True freedom is actually subjecting yourself to the laws of God.
Amen.
It's actually allowing yourself to be restricted by the boundaries of God's word. That's actually true freedom.
Amen.
I mean, think about this. Who's really free? The individual who escapes prison or the individual who is just a law-abiding citizen? You see, the individual who escapes prison thinks he's free, but you know what he's going to be doing for the rest of his life? Looking over his shoulder. Wondering, oh man, is that, you know, looking in his rearview mirror for every police officer that's behind him. He's not really free.
Right.
He's living in constant fear, constant wonder, am I going to get caught? Am I going to do this? Why? Because he's not abiding according to the laws of the land.
Right.
But you know what? The person who's really free is the one who's just like living a normal, moral, law-abiding life.
Amen.
No one in here, as far as I know, leaves and just like, man, well, there's a police right there, you know? And just looks in the rearview mirror. All right, shh, quiet. There's a police right there. Just smile. And if you're like that, you're just paranoid. And you're not involved in any like illegal activity. You're just you might have been involved in illegal activity in times past, and you just built up some bad habits.
Right. Okay?
I know people that when I'm in the car with them, they can spot a police officer like miles away. They're like, oh, there's a police coming down the street on this, you know, five blocks away or something. Like, how do you know that? Like, I just have that radar. True freedom is the person who's not involved in sin, not involved in any crimes, and so they can just live a carefree life.
Amen.
Who's free, me or the person who bombed my church building? Me.
Amen.
Yeah.
Even if they think they got away with it, they're constantly living in fear.
Yep.
Because now the FBI's on their rear end.
That's good.
They're afraid that they might get caught. That's why they're contacting people in our church. Take down my video.
Yeah.
Please take it down. You're going to ruin my life. I'm not contacting anyone to take down any video.
Right.
Even from my enemy side. Keep them all up.
Amen.
Why? Because I got nothing to hide.
Right.
Do you think I go on Keep Almighty Friendly's page and just report their post about me and report this and all the slander? No, I'm just like, just leave it up.
Amen.
In fact, print me out a copy. I want to post that too.
Yeah.
Why? Because if I'm not living in sin, if I'm just being a law-abiding citizen, I'm not worried about anything. I'm free.
Amen.
I'm actually at liberty.
Yep.
And I lay my head on my pillow at night, not worrying about a darn thing.
Amen.
I'm just like, why worry? But they're not. I guarantee you, they're going to sleep worried that someone's going to knock on their door, that they're going to be arrested, and you know what? They should be.
That's right. Amen.
And even if no one ever comes after them or arrests them, God's going to punish them.
Amen. Amen. Right.
Need I repeat? Oh, no, you guys, some of you guys weren't even there on Thursday. Folks, okay, I'm finished. Let me just finish with this story, okay?
Amen.
James 1, I was just going to talk about the perfect law of liberty, all right? Look, folks, just know this. Don't allow yourself to just be in unrest regarding evildoers. Fret not because of evildoers.
Amen. Amen.
Well, you know, we're just leaving and they're not going to be punished and all these things. No, 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 no. They will be punished.
Amen.
Not by me. Maybe not even by the FBI or the police. But I guarantee you,
amen,
God will punish them.
Amen.
And let me give you a legitimate example of that.
Amen.
A modern day example. A couple months ago, what was it, in September, October, we had a fundamentalist conference. How many of you guys remember when we had the fundamentalist conference? There's a guy who is just an enemy of God who literally shut us down 3 times.
Yep.
When we're in Ohio. Marco Center, we're in Ohio. 100 people, shut down our venue 3 times. 3 times. Made videos slandering me and my pastor friends, doxed their children. This individual was just wicked. And I remember being in Ohio thinking to myself, like, man, this person is just like going after us hard. And we literally had to move people like 3 times, 100 people. I'm talking about, we set up a live stream that took us 3 hours to set up.
Yep.
And then he reports us. The owner or whatever, the manager comes and says, you guys got to be out in 1 hour. You guys got to have all your stuff out in 1 hour. You guys can't be here because of what you preach. That's what he told me. So needless to say, it was a pain in the neck. And you know what? Like, I was angry. And I remember coming back home, and we had our prayer meetings, and I told you guys, hey, we need to pray against this individual. This individual is wicked.
Amen.
Pray that God punishes this individual. He hates the Lord. He's trying to stop the work of God. We prayed, and we prayed for a while, you know, a couple weeks or whatever. And then I just kind of forgot about it. Because, you know, you just move on with life.
Right.
Buildings get blown up, and, you know, just the normal stuff of life starts happening, you know what I mean? Just kind of, and I just ended up forgetting about it. And then, you know, all this happens, and I'm thinking to myself, man, Lord, are you going to punish these evil people who, like, bombed our building and protested us and just fought against us? Lord, are you going to punish them? And, you know, I'm just praying those imprecatory prayers. And then I get a message saying, hey, you remember so-and-so? They went missing. I'm like, really? So, yeah, they went missing. They don't know where they're at. Get the message the next day. Hey, they found their body.
Oh.
This person was brutally murdered.
Yep.
Because he was involved in some shady business.
Yeah.
And you know what I thought to myself? Lord, you do avenge us speedily.
Amen.
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 That's right.
And I thought to myself, like, I rejoiced. I rejoiced, folks. And I thought to myself, I was thinking, like, Lord, forgive me for having such lack of faith.
Amen.
Because it's just like, man, are these people going to be punished? Well, you know what? Shall he find faith on the earth when he returns? You know what he says? I will avenge you speedily.
Amen.
Amen.
And here's the thing. I had already forgotten about him.
Yeah.
But you know who didn't forget? God.
Amen.
God didn't forget that. And it's no coincidence that he allowed it to be exposed and allowed me and my friends to hear about it.
Right.
You know what? You know why I think he allowed me to hear about it? Just to kind of remind us, like, hey, I still got your back.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I will avenge you speedily.
Amen. Right.
And at that point, it's just like, dude, don't mess with God's people.
Amen.
Yep. Yeah.
Don't mess with his church. Don't mess with his doctrine. Don't mess with his people. And you know what else taught me? Avenge not yourselves.
Amen.
Don't take matters into your own hands. Don't avenge yourselves. God will repay them.
Amen.
Even if, even when you forget about it.
Yeah.
He will never forget about it. So what's the sermon today? You know what? If we do that which is right in our own eyes, we take matters into our own hands.
Yeah.
But God is saying, hey, don't do that which is right in your own eyes. I will repay.
Amen.
Do that which is right in God's eyes and let God take care of his enemies.
Amen.
And right. Then when that day comes, we rejoice.
That's right.
Man. And precatory prayers really do work. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we pray that you would avenge us of our enemies, Lord. Those who hate you, they hate your word. Those who have sought to hinder the work of God. Those who are perverting your word, Lord. These things grieve us. They vex our righteous soul, Lord. And I pray, God, that you bring speedy punishment upon those who have sought to hinder the work of God here. And Lord, help us never to do that which is right in our own sight, in our own eyes. Help us never to be wise in our own eyes and prudent in our own sight. But may we look at the world and the decisions we make through the filter of your word. And help us to seek you and your word. Help us not to lean upon our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you and you'll direct our path, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd help us to do so. We love you so much and we thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Go ahead and find your song sheet, song number 147, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.